Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the sound of the Liberty Bell. This year we celebrate the 175th anniversary of its ringing. And this year, American men and women rededicate themselves to the doctrine inscribed on the great bell, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. This month, the Eternal Light dedicates its programs to the American heritage of liberty, which is our common challenge. Our drama today is Morton Wishingrad's Valley Forge.
Valley Forge. Ice is on the Schuylkill, and blood is on the snow of Pennsylvania. A fine dust of hail runs before the wind and covers the bloody footprints. But always the blood reappears, confirmation in crimson that the army remains. In the valley lie the naked, starving rabble of the Continental Army of His Excellency, the Commander-in-Chief, General George Washington.
Hold up, farmer! Hold up there!
What do you want?
There's meat in the wagon, Captain.
Pull it out, Berger.
Yes, sir.
That meat belongs to me.
Up with it, Henry. It's veal, Captain. Fine veal.
Put it down, you blackguards. That meat belongs to me.
Does it, Farmer?
I say the meat belongs to me.
Good. Then we can talk business. Where are you bound?
That's my business.
You go to Philadelphia, Farmer, don't you?
I said that's my business.
You'd sell to Lord Howe and leave us to starve.
Yes, sir.
Berger, man, easy. I said easy.
Farmer, we're not thieves, we're soldiers. The army pays 10 pence a pound for veal. It's a good price.
The British pay 10 shillings.
You dirty profiteering dog.
Pull back, Berger. I say pull back. Well?
Yes, Captain. That girl, Factor.
Farmer, you're an American. You'll not sell to the enemy and see your own soldiers go without.
I don't know anything about that. Have you silver?
No, but we've good continental currency.
Continental currency, do you say? Give me a wagon load of your continentals, I'll give you my veal, pound for pound.
Let's dump the wagon and take it.
None of that, Berger.
I say dump it.
I say no, do you hear me? No! We're soldiers, you hear? All right, Farmer, you can go. But we shan't forget. Back to camp, men. Berger, I said back!
December 1777. Valley Forge. The ordeal of the American Revolution.
All right, move along. Next.
I'm next, Dr. Waldo.
What's wrong with you, lad? You look healthy enough.
I have the itch, Doctor.
Well, do you complain, lad? So have I.
Yes, but Doctor...
Get along, lad. Can you not afford hospitality to a few of God's homeless creatures? Get along, lad, and leave me to attend my patients. You're next.
The name's Berger, sir.
All right, Berger, what's the...
Dysentery, Dr. Walden.
A good Democratic complaint, Mr. Berger. Go back and rest.
Don't you have anything to give me, Doctor?
I told you what to do. Rest.
Yeah. Then, Doctor, give me something for a man in our tent. You saw Andrews last week, sir. The fever's still bad.
Andrews. Yes, I remember. Orderly, give him some mutton and grog for the sick man.
Right away, Dr. Waldo.
Is that all, Doctor? Mutton and grog?
A capital medicine, Mr. Berger. Besides, it's all I have.
I thought, Doctor... Yeah. I suppose it's no use.
Look here, Berger. I'm no believer in pills or powders. I'll have none of the Boston physic that makes a man vomit up his money instead of his disease.
Yes, sir.
Be thankful for the mutton and grog. There'll be none of it tomorrow for your friend Andrew. Get along, I said. Get along.
What kept you so long, Henry? Where have you been? Berg, I'm freezing.
Lie down, Andrews. I'll start the fire.
Here's the tinder, lad.
The tinder is wet, Berger.
Give it here, lad. The tinder is wet, but the powder is dry. Ah, catch it, quick. That'll do it. Henry, fetch some rails.
But, Berger, it said Washington forbids burning the farmer's rails.
Good, we'll burn the farmer's house, and I can't freeze. Fever and frost, it's more than I'll bear.
They're not all bad, Andrews. Some of the farmers brought food today.
Oh, it's not them, it's the others. The pious, psalm-singing patriots who carry their produce to the British. I hate them.
Andrews, why don't you go to the surgery?
No, I'll stay here. If I'm to die, I'd sooner die here.
Inside there! Inside the tent! Why is no sentry posted?
It's not my turn, Captain.
Is it yours, Berger?
No, sir.
Then it's yours, Andrews.
And if it is...
Mr. Andrews, I don't like your tone. Stand up when you address an officer.
The man is ailing, Captain.
Never mind that. Stand up, Andrews, and go to your post.
I'll go. I'll go when you give me food.
I have none to give. Boil the leather strap of your musket.
I've already tasted that delicacy.
Go to your post, Andrews. Do you mutiny, mister?
Bread. I want bread.
I said go to your post,
no
soldier.
No bread, Captain. No soldiers. No.
Him no mind, sir. He's with typhus. I'll go for him.
Berger, you've just come back. Let me go instead.
Thanks, lad, but it's all right. For an old hand like me, this cold isn't so bad. Give us your scarf, Henry, and another wrapping for the feet.
Yes. Here you are, Berger.
Captain, you won't report Andrews, will you? He's not accountable now for what he says.
I understand, Berger. You're a good man. I won't report him. Go to the post.
Henry, did you find him?
Not a sign, Andrews. There's no trace of him.
Oh.
I can't understand it. Berger should have been back 2 hours ago.
Did you look for tracks in the snow?
Oh, I didn't think of it. I'm a fool.
He'll be taken for deserter if he's found. He'll be shot. Find him, Henry. Bring him back.
Berger? Jonathan Berger?
Young Henry King, in the bitter December of 1777, looking in the Pennsylvania snow for tracks.
Berger? Jonathan Berger? Do you hear me?
Going further from camp.
Jonathan Berger?
Moving out of bounds.
Berger?
While Andrews waited, burning with fever and fear.
Quiet! Why did you follow me, lad?
You'll be reported missing. They'll take you as a deserter.
Me? Are you crazy, Henry?
Then why?
Look there.
What?
On the road. Deer tracks. It's a deer run. Meet, Henry. Meet for Jack Andrews.
Shh, Berger. Someone's coming.
Well, I've nothing to hide. Stay right with me, boy.
It's the captain.
Brother! Who goes on the road?
It's us, Captain. Jonathan Berger and Henry King.
Hello. Why are you out of bounds?
We're seeking game, Captain.
That's so. Go back to your tent, both of you. You know better?
It's to know better, sir, that a man in our tent is perishing for the lack of a bit of fresh meat.
I'm truly sorry, Berger, but don't go any further.
Ain't no man to stop me, Captain. Not even General Washington himself.
Mr. Berger, do you rebel?
Rebel? Yeah, the word is apt, Captain. Why not? The colonies are rebels. We're an army of rebels, aren't we?
Please, Captain. He's lightheaded. He hasn't eaten today.
Don't interrupt, lad. Captain, I ask you, what man set foot in America who wasn't a rebel? We are the most rebellious, dissentious nation on God's earth.
Enough doctrine, Berger. Go back to your tent.
Here's more doctrine, Captain. My musket. Good democratic doctrine, sir.
What do you mean, Berger?
There's a charge of gunpowder in my musket, Captain. That's what I mean. It makes me the equal of his lordship.
Mister, do you threaten me?
I don't threaten anyone, Captain. But you will observe that I carry my musket. And the lad here his.
I observe.
And, sir, you have only your sword.
For the last time, go back to your tent.
I'll have to do my duty, Mr. Berger. I shall have to report you.
Yep.
He'll report us for desertion.
Yeah, not him. For insubordination, maybe, but not desertion. Now, let's go, Henry. The game won't wait for us. Nor will Andrew's fever. Good shot, Henry. That got him. Well, what's the matter, boy? You're shaking all over.
Am I?
Buck fever. You shot a man at Trenton without flinching, but you tremble before a deer. Don't curse the war that makes a lad like you.
What's that? We're in for it, Berger. They heard the shot.
Look around them, men. Looks like we caught a couple of deserters. But don't let them get away.
Corporal, I give you these prisoners in charge. They are to wait outside until summoned by the court-martial.
Yes, sir.
Provost, I know these soldiers. They're good men. What's the charge against them?
Desertion and being absent from post for this one. Desertion for the boy.
Provost, I suggest you admit them to the house. It's cold here.
Orders are that they remain outside.
I countermand them, Provost. Let the men go into the house. You'll have dead prisoners on your hands.
But can't be a good
fellow, Provost. You don't want to cheat the court-martial, do you? Admit them to the house before they freeze.
Those are the charges against them, General Washington.
I see. Gentlemen, what have you to say? You may have a lawyer if you wish. Captain Ellison has sent word that he'd be happy to represent you.
Did he, General? We won't forget that. But if you don't object, General, I'd like to speak for myself and the lad.
I have no objection. Proceed.
Thank you, General Washington. All night long, I thought of what I would say. Now it's hard to... General Washington, gentlemen, I've served the Army since the beginning. The boy since he was 16.
We know that, Mr. Berger.
The muskets we carry, they're our own. The uniforms, our own rags, sir. We haven't been paid. We've been sick. We've been in hunger. Yet I think I don't complain of that. Yes, I've complained about a good many things like the other men. But complaint for an American is no sin.
Well spoken, Mr. Berger.
Thank you, sir. The lad and me fight for the colonies. We know there are many in the colonies who side with the enemy and oppose us. I think perhaps we complain most of that. But whatever we think, sir, we've never thought of desertion. We were at Brandywine in Germantown. Do you think if we didn't desert then, we'd do it now? I admit to leaving my post, but you know why. And the lad went to find me. We aren't deserters, sir, and that's the whole truth.
Are you done, Mr. Berger?
One thing more, if I may be allowed, sir.
Yes?
In the entire army, I should be the last to desert, sir.
Why, Mr. Berger?
Because my father came to the colonies from a place in Bavaria.
place where they burned down the synagogue.
You are a Jew?
Yes, sir. Each day I praise God that I am an American and in America.
Mr. Berger, what is an American?
I don't rightly know, sir. Our rabbi says it is what a man is and not what he has.
Tell me, Mr. Berger, do you make texts like your rabbi when the enemy approaches?
No, sir. I leave text for Lord Howe.
Lord Howe?
To explain to His Majesty why he wins every engagement yet cannot defeat us.
I like you, Mr. Berger. I think you are a good soldier. Everything you've told us convinces us that you are fine men, both of you. But an army rises and falls on discipline. I'm sorry, Mr. Berger, but for the good of the army, we shall have to make an example of you.
The regiment, all present and accounted for, sir.
Very good, Captain. What is your muster?
200 men, sir.
Where are the others, Captain? Your orders are to march the whole regiment.
The others are unfit for duty, General Washington.
I should have known. Is the provost ready?
Yes, sir.
This is a dirty business, Captain. I'm sick of it. All right, Captain. Whenever you're ready.
Yes, sir.
Drummer! It is the order of the court-martial that for the offenses committed, the prisoners are each to receive 20 strokes of the lash. I warn the men present against any demonstration or outcry. Provost, the lash.
Where's Berger?
Easy, Henry. Easy now. He's asleep.
What?
He's all right. It was the cold more than the lash. The brutes. The filthy brutes.
Andrews, go back to your blanket. You mustn't be up. You...
That's all right, Henry. I'm stronger than you think. I'm Jack Andrews. Where I spit, no grass grows.
How can you joke?
I'll joke or go mad, which you have.
Water. Andrews, some water.
Yeah, wait, here. Here it is. In my hand, boy. Hold up your head.
More, Andrews.
No more. He'll get sick. Why did he have to go off for the deer? Dumb, scuttle-faced fool.
You knew? Andrews... First time I've seen Washington so close. His nose is pitted with pox. But he laughed. You could see he was pleased by what Berger said.
The greater the crime, then. I hate the army. I'm not going to stay another day. Henry, let's go. Let's get out. Let's quit.
What? Andrews, you don't mean that.
I'm sick. Sick, do you hear? I'm not going to die in this tent. Better in the snow where a man can fall asleep and think he's warm.
Andrews!
I thought you were asleep.
No. Just too weak to talk. Throw a stick on the fire and go to sleep.
I'm glad you heard. My mind is fixed if you and Henry won't go with me. There are others who will.
Andrews, you can't quit now.
They whipped you.
It's no skin off your back.
You let them beat you, and then you say that. Are you mad, Jonathan Berger? Will you snivel and smile and give a kiss for a lashing?
You're sick, Andrews.
But I'm not mad. You are lashed.
I had a fair trial.
Your back isn't so fair.
It will heal. Go back to your
bunk. No, I'm going out.
You're going to stay
here. Why? Tell me why.
You belong here, that's why. Men like you don't run from a fight. The fight follows. Then you have to fight alone.
What's the difference?
You know what it is. No single man can make the fight. But all men together... Andrews. You can't run from the fight and find what you look for. What you look for is right here.
Whose fight? The merchants, the aristocrats?
Yes, the merchants, the aristocrats, but your fight, too. One thing at a time, Andrew.
Curse you, Jonathan Berger. May heaven curse you.
Then you'll stay.
May you have the black pot.
But you'll stay.
I hope your teeth rot with a scurvy.
But you'll stay.
Yes. I'll stay. I'll stay.
Because you believe me?
Quit it, will you? Don't plague me. I said I'll stay. What more do you want?
Andy. I want you to stay. Only if you want to stay. It must not be otherwise.
Quit! Quit! I want to stay. You know I do. I'm no deserter.
Don't go, Captain. I want to talk.
You need sleep, General Washington.
Let Lord Howe sleep. I'm depressed. I'm tired and weary and depressed. Mrs. Washington sought to comfort me. She sent me her Bible. Look at the comfort. It opened in my fingers to the book of Job. My breath is corrupt. My days are extinct. The graves are ready for me. Are there not mockers with me? And doth not mine eye continue in their provocation?
Close the book, sir. You have tribulations enough for one man.
I doubt myself, Captain. Am I worthy of the fidelity of the men? I have always failed.
That isn't true, sir.
But it is true. It's always been true. At Fort Necessity 30 years ago, I failed. The Ohio campaign, failure. It hasn't changed. New York. Germantown, Brandywine, failures, all of them.
Sir, you are a rock that grows on adversity.
Before God, I hope you're right. Captain, this is a great country. There are 2 million people in it. Something will come of them in spite of our failures, in spite of the Congress that sits and talks and sits and talks and promises. We need a miracle, Captain. Where is there a miracle? Where?
Valley Forge was the miracle. Out of the ordeal and the blood on the snow and the rabble in the tents, something emerged. Spring came, and the stricken, starved men stirred and quickened in the thin April sun. The men took ashes and sand and washed their rags in the river, and they were refreshed and clean. And that was a miracle. The shad in the thousands came boiling up the river to spawn, another miracle. At Pauling's Ford, the half-crazy men stretched a net. They ate the first fish raw. Then they cooked it and ate more. Then they salted the rest. A fat little man named Von Steuben began to drill them. Yes, he drilled them. They were awkward, they vexed him, he lost patience, but he drilled them. And they became an army. The army of human freedom that marches still.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting an address by Congressman Emanuel Seller of New York. Congressman Seller.
Here and there, the waves of history toss upon the shores of mankind a document so challenging, so compelling, that it reshapes the forces of history itself. Such a document is the Declaration of Independence. It was and is the universal expression of the universal heart and mind in its simplicity, its brevity, and its timelessness. Each age seeks life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But for our age, a troubled and trembling time, the Declaration of Independence contains the clarity of definition to hold us steadfast. It defines independence as, one, the dignity of the individual, not the trappings of state, not the thousand-year reign which was the Nazis' boast, but the dignity of the individual. Two, the courage to defy tyranny. Three, the maturity with which to analyze and criticize, the eagerness and urgency of the inquiring mind. This is not a document for the cringing and the fearful. This is a declaration of independence. From country to country, from generation to generation, the Jew has sought the way of life in which he could really identify himself. Be not merely tolerated, but be a part of the whole, living as individuals in dignity and integrity. The tradition of the Talmud is to question, to fathom, and to fashion the answer, accompany the Jew wheresoever he went. The tradition of philosophy, the sacredness of learning, all are part of the personality of the Jew, and give to him the appreciation of the Declaration of Independence. The Jew will continue to find new meaning and new application in this declaration as age follows into age. This also is the way to peace.
Thank you, Congressman Seller. Eternal Light Drama today, Valley Forge, was written by Morton Wishengrad and was presented in observance of the 175th anniversary of the adoption of the Declaration of Independence. Featured in today's cast were Cameron Prudhomme as Jonathan Berger, Edgar Staley as Andrews, John Sylvester as Henry King, Roger DeCoven as the captain, and Alexander Skirby as the narrator. The music was composed by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Milton Catons. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present the Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.